Now, chaps, let's talk to Australian basketball great Andrew Bogut. He joins us on the Rush Hour. Now, over the weekend, he wrote an article about pro-freedom and governments. Where is our choice?
Good article.
He joins us this afternoon. Andrew, thanks for your time, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate. Why do you think the government is playing a dangerous game with our freedoms?
I mean, I'm just not for mandates, mate. I think if you start mandating what they're doing now with the jab, there's a lot of other things that can be mandated in the future that people don't understand. You know, we're going to have we know that COVID attacks people with high body fat percentage. Are we going to then have a body mass index for you to go to the doctor? You know, there's a real slippery slope. That sounds stupid, but as soon as you give an inch to the government, you start mandating things and a one-size-fits-all approach to immunization and vaccines, I think it should be everybody's decision. And I'm in the minority, it seems, listening to mainstream media with that view, but it's one I'll stick with.
It's important that people don't misunderstand your article in the paper on the weekend, because you're not actually anti-vax, and you say this, you're just anti-mandate, what you just mentioned then. You don't want people to have to show papers to participate in these sports.
Exactly right. Unfortunately, we can't separate that, though. You've got that banana politician up in the Northern Territory who said that if you're anti-mandate, you're anti-vax. That doesn't help the situation. And there's a lot of people in Australia. I don't know what the number would be, but I can guarantee there's a lot of people that are double vaccinated that are against the mandates that were forced to do it. Now, I don't know the ratio, but these politicians that keep claiming we're 90% vaxxed, and it's not like everyone happily walked in there and did it. They were forced to because they had to put food on the table. And I just hate, as soon as you have, you know, a different opinion, you're straight away labeled as anti-vax or a bigot or a loony or a conspiracy theorist. You can't even have an open discussion or dialogue about it. And I think that's a bad place for Australia to be.
Andrew, I read your article as well. And the whole Novak Djokovic, I mean, it was just an absolute farcical shambles in the end. So would you have been happy for Novak to come to Australia and play the Australian Open?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, regardless of my situation with vaccines or where I sit and all that kind of stuff, let's not forget, he got an exemption from the government. Mm-hmm. He got an exemption from Tennis Australia. They've ticked all the boxes, and our bedwetting politicians have then seen some public pushback, and they've sunk into that low. And people need to understand as well, like, you know, just because that Australian mentality of I had mine, I had to do it, I didn't want to do it, so should you, that's not good neither. I mean, it would have been good for him to come in and actually punch back against the mandates because we wouldn't be in a situation we're in now that, you know, Adelaide or South Australia, I believe the boosters coming into effect there for a lot of people as part of the passport or being able to live everyday life and play sport. And I mean, when's it going to end?
Yeah. Well, you've spent a lot of time in the States as well, mate. So how do you reckon as a country we've handled this compared to the USA?
Well, look, early on, there was so many unknowns. I was in the middle of a grand final series with the Sydney Kings right when this kicked off, and we stopped our series, much to a lot of people going after us for it, because there was a lot of unknowns. Look, I'm very anti-lockdown, but the first couple of months I was like, you know, this kind of makes sense. It's new. I've never been part of a pandemic in my life. Let's lock down 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Here we are 2 years later, boys. But it's just one of those things, man. And it just really kind of gets to me that we haven't really progressed. Nothing's changed. Our politicians, I just read an article, I just tweeted about it, that politicians are now saying, don't call the hospital, don't call the ambulance if you've got COVID, don't rush to hospital. Well, you're the very reason people are in a panic. You fear-mongered the public for 2 years, and now you're saying, hey, it's not that bad, stay home, when the only health advice we've received the last 2 years is vax, 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 and more vax. Nothing about get out in the sun, don't eat bad food, don't go line up in KFC every night or McDonald's every night, you know, hydrate, get your vitamins in, none of that. It's all just vax, 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 that'll save you. Well, hate to tell you that even if you have your vaccination and your body fat's at 20-30%, you're going to be in some trouble if you get the virus.
It's farcical in some ways, because you mentioned Kyrie Irving in your article, and he's allowed to train with his squad, but he can't play in certain arenas. We saw Alex Carey and Travis Head in the Big Bash the other night have to walk out from a different change room, but then they punch gloves when they open the batting. Like, it's just becoming a joke, really.
Mate, it's theatre. It is dead set theatre. You know, you know... half the people you see out in public, they've got their face masks at their chin anyway. They're doing it just to conform so they don't get any grief from the public or police or whatever. Like, At this point, we need to get on with it. I think if you are immunocompromised and you have health issues, you need to probably reassess and probably stay home more than other people, but we need to get on with life. It's one of those things that the detriment this is causing to kids' education, to mental health, to suicide, people losing businesses, bankrupt, marriages going down the toilet. Like, no one's factoring that in with daily case numbers. All we hear is, oh, you know, 1,000 people have COVID. Well, what about old Joe Blow down the corner? That I know people in Melbourne, friends of mine, that have, one guy, a restaurant that I frequented in Melbourne, the guy committed suicide. The restaurant's closed, it's gone, you know.
Sad.
And it's, you hear more and more of these stories, but no one's talking about that. That's taboo. Don't talk about that. You know, let's just talk about COVID cases.
Mate, can you see the government dropping all mandates in the future? So guys like Liam Jones and all these sports people who can't play their respective sports get back into their football clubs and sporting clubs.
Well, it feels like they've dug a hole too deep to do it now. Mm. I mean, my question is, the Pfizer CEO was on record saying the first two doses do not do anything for Omicron. So my question to you fellas, why do we still have mandates in Australia for the first two doses?
That's a good point.
What are they doing? Yeah, in fact, he's even said that the booster doesn't really help you with Omicron, and that they're working on something for Omicron that'll come out in the next month or two. So what are the mandates for? Mm. Like, it's completely, at this point, in my opinion, about you didn't conform and we're punishing you. It is no longer about health. A year ago, maybe. Today,
it's changed.
Conform.
The landscape's changed. Andrew, we've got to keep moving, mate. Thanks for your time. Appreciate your honesty and all the best, buddy.
All the best. Take it easy.
Take care.
Thanks, Andrew.